All right, in Luke 22, which we already read, verses 54 to 62, I would say, and we've said this a number of times, it sure has been an interesting year, 2020. But I hope also that all of us have learned some major things in 2020. You say, well, what are you talking about? Well, this is one thing that stands out to me as a pastor. When people have a mind to be faithful, nothing can hold them down. You say, well, now, what are you talking about? Well, when we get into our finances the end of January concerning this past year, you'll find out why that statement is so true. Because even though we had missed many Sundays getting together, numbers have been down, guess what? God has used the faithful at CIBC to continue to be faithful, not only in their prayers, but also in their giving. And PPNL has not even thought about turning off our electric, if you get my little joke there. God has met our needs, just like he has met, I'm sure, your needs as you think back over this year. Now, here's something for all of us to think about, and perhaps this has happened sometime in our lifetime, if we've been saved for any length of time. Have you ever fallen down spiritually while you're running this race that God has put us in? Sometimes we stumble. Sometimes we fall. Have you ever been tripped up by the devil? Oh, he likes to do that too. He's very busy at doing things like that. Well, let me remind you of one thing. You're not a failure because you fall. You're only a failure if you don't get back up. How many have you have ever seen, and, you know, with all the technology we have now, you can find all kinds of things on the internet. Be careful that you sort out what is fact and what is fiction. But I've seen races from the past. One in particular, I wish I would remember this man's name. He fell down in the race. He was last now. And it wasn't that long of a race. It wasn't a 100-yard dash, but he got up. Now, he's in last place. Before the race was over, he was the one who crossed the finish line first. Now, it was amazing to watch him, how all of a sudden, from last place, and all of a sudden, he starts to pass everybody. And all of a sudden, they think, well, he might have a chance to win this. And sure enough, he did. Now, he could have, when he fell down, said, oh, boy, that's done. That's over for me. I don't stand a chance to win this race. And he could have just walked off, and it would have been all over, and nobody would have remembered him, except he fell down, and he didn't really get back up and into the race. Well, sometimes we fall. Sometimes we trip. And even in Hebrews, it talks about us being in a race. Not against one another, but we're in a race. Study that out on your own in the book of Hebrews. We did a study on Hebrews a number of years ago. Very interesting book. If you get up just one more time than you fell down, you're a success. I think I got some scripture that might back that up. How about Proverbs 24:16? For a just man falleth seven times and rises up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. What would you think of a preacher who would curse and swear in front of the teenagers? Boy, you wouldn't think too much about a person like that, would you? But do you realize that Peter did just that? Remember the young woman that said, oh, you're one of him. Well, what a poor example Peter was. I mean, here they know he was with Jesus and the rest of them. And what did he do? He cursed. He cursed in front of these people. Not only did he do that, but he denied the Lord. Denied the Lord. And then, even in spite of all of that, God gave him a new start. We can read about it in the Word of God. And Peter learned, can we say, and this is kind of a strange way to put it, and it's not original with me, but can you see where Peter learned how to fail forward? God didn't give up on him. He didn't give up on Peter. Oh, that's it. I'm done with him. I can't use him anymore. No, that's not what happened at all. That's what I want us to look at today concerning Peter. Poor Peter. I'm so glad that God chose not to put me in his word about my successes and my failures. But here we have Peter as an example. But God used him greatly, even with all of his tripping and failing. God used him. The first point in this outline today that I want us to look at is this. Failure doesn't have to be a hitching post. It can be a guidepost. Let me say it again. Failure doesn't have to be a hitching post. It can be a guidepost. I grew up around this area, and I got into Lancaster County a lot, and there's still some hitching posts down there at different stores. And what do they use that for? Well, they make sure they tie the horse there so he doesn't move, and he stays just in that one place. But in this example, failure doesn't have to be a hitching post. It can be a guidepost. We can learn from failures, and we can learn from sin. I remember, I used this example many times about Joshua. In fact, in our lesson last week, Joshua learned a lot from Moses. And some of the things that he learned from Moses was observing, oh boy, I don't think I want to do it that way. And he tripped there. So we can learn from failures. We can learn even from sins. God has a way. Here's something else. Now, we should... There's teachings out there that say, you know, once you're saved, you're always saved, which is true. But they also say, well, now that you're saved, you can do whatever you want to and everything will be all right. You weren't saved to continue to practice sinning. Although you will sin, you're not perfect. But you should be striving to learn more about God and his word and use his wisdom to keep from falling and failing and sinning. Amen? We shouldn't be practicing sin or seeing what we can get away with because we got that ticket to heaven. Too many people are doing that. And maybe they ought to go back to step one and make sure they know Jesus Christ is their personal Savior. God has a way of bringing good out of bad. We're going to even touch on some other men from the past that did some horrible things. But the one thing that they did after they realized what they did is they asked God to forgive them. And he did. And he used them to do mighty and great things, even after they failed. Some people have low self-esteem. Some people think that God sees them as a composite of all their failures. But that's not so. When God forgives, he forgets. Isn't that wonderful? When God forgives, he forgets. There's a scripture that says, as far as the east is from the west. That's marvelous. Now, that's not to say that there are consequences with some of the things where we fail God, but we certainly don't have to worry about the judgment as long as we ask God to forgive us and move on from there. God doesn't hold those things against us, although sometimes when we do foolish things, there are consequences. Number two, if we fail God, it will probably be at a point of our greatest strength. Let me say that again. If we fail God, it will probably be at a point of our greatest strength. Look at Peter. Peter's greatest strength was what? His courage. Now you say, well, that doesn't make sense, that statement. If we fail God, it will probably be at the point of our greatest strength. Do you know when many pastors have failed and fallen flat on their face? When they got to thinking that they reached a point they did in their ministry and they're puffing out their chest and they forget God is the one who brought you here, not you. So you get what I'm saying with that sentence there. If we fail God, it'll probably be at the point of our greatest strength. We criticize Peter. Especially we criticize him for many things, but we really criticize him for taking his eyes off the Lord on the Sea of Galilee when he began to sink. Well, first of all, he's the only one that took the initiative to even try to get out of the boat and walk on the water. Everybody else just sat back and watched him, but at least he got out of the boat. When they came to arrest Jesus, remember what we said about Peter's greatest strength was his courage. When they came to arrest Jesus, Peter pulled out his sword in order to defend Jesus. And what happened? Instead of taking off the head of the one that was coming to take Jesus, he took off his ear. And what did Jesus do? We don't have all the wording of what was going on, but I believe Jesus might have said, "Oh, now, Peter, put that sword away." And what did he do? He picked up the ear that Peter had cut off of that man and put it back on. And I've often said he probably heard better out of that ear than he ever did before. Because Jesus touched it. Put it back in place. This big, and I believe he was a big fisherman. He was strong. I mean, you had to be a fisherman back then because of the way you fished. A lot different than it is today. And of course, I guess there is some sense with these guys who do commercial fishing. They have to be pretty strong. But this big, burly fisherman cowered down when a little teenage girl brought something up to him. And in the here he is, this big, strong man. And he was kind of put back by this teenage girl. How about some other examples of men in the Bible when, you know, they could have quit. They could have threw up their hands and said, "Oh, I'm a failure. God can't use me anymore." I think of Moses. Bible says he was the meekest among men. Now, what is meekness? Meekness is not weakness. You know what meekness is? Meekness is strength under control. There's a good definition of meekness. But what did he do? He lost control of his emotions, and he killed an Egyptian. And later on, when he was leading the children of Israel, he again lost control of his emotions, and it cost him greatly when he smoked a rock. God told him to speak to it, but he smoked it. He smoked the rock. Abraham, he is called the father of faith. But he left Canaan and went into Egypt and lied about Sarah, his wife, because he didn't have enough faith that God would protect him and his wife. He failed in his area of strength. David. David is a picture of purity. He's a picture of the apple of God's eye. He was said he was a man after God's own heart. God said that about him. But he committed adultery, and he really murdered a man. He commanded it. He failed in his area of strength. None of these failed in their weaknesses, but in their strength. Because we all have a tendency to leave our strengths unguarded from time to time. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 10, "When I am weak, then am I strong, for then I'm depending on the Lord, not myself." I'm paraphrasing that. It's exactly what he said there. Proverbs 16:18 says that pride goes before destruction. 1 Corinthians 10:12 kind of echoes that fact. "Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." What are we saying? Too many times we're relying in our own strength. Too many times we think we have accomplished something great. But without God, it would have been impossible anyhow. We need to get our eyes off of self and our eyes on to God. Let me back up here a little bit. Go back to Luke 22, chapter 22. Before this incident, look at verse 33, what Peter said. "And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death." Woo. And of course, we know the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would always say. Now, we certainly can admire Peter for his statement. That talks a lot about loyalty. It certainly does, at first glance. But there's a difference between saying I can do all things through Christ or just I can do all things. And when you think about Peter and the incidents that were running up to this point, I think it really is a picture of him depending on his, I can do it. I'm strong. I can take care of this problem. But what happened when we go back to when he was in the garden with the rest of the disciples? Was he praying? No, he fell asleep like the rest of them. So sometimes we get too much into ourselves and need to rely more on the one who gives us the strength in the first place to get where we are in this race. And that's the Lord Jesus. The boastful man, listen to this. The boastful man is tempting the devil to tempt him. It might take a second for that to sink in, but listen to it. The boastful man is tempting the devil to tempt him. Who should receive all the glory for any success that we have in life? God. He gives us the strength. He gives us the things even that we have, the ability to work for them, to take them for ourselves. And boy, we can even get into trouble there when we start worshiping the things instead of the God who gave us the things. And we get too much reliant on things around us and forget about God. Who knows where this dreaded pandemic came from. There's a lot of things floating around out there. Personally, I couldn't prove it. I don't have enough things behind me to get all that information together, but I believe really this was something that started in a lab somewhere. And it got out, maybe on purpose, maybe by accident, and it ended up affecting the whole world. Is it ever going to be proven? Who knows? Who knows? But I still know who is in control, and I still know that I serve Him, and I still know I don't have to worry about all of the things that are going on in this world when He calls me home to be with Him, and I get that glorified body. No more sickness, no more disease, no more devil trying to trip me up. We'll be with Him for eternity. Before we sin, the devil is a tempter. Listen to this. I have it highlighted. Before we sin, the devil is a tempter. After we sin, the devil is an accuser. Now think about that. Before we sin, he says, oh, go ahead. Nobody's gonna know. Nobody's looking. Go ahead. You can take that. You can fix them books up. Nobody's gonna know. You can get away with it. And then after it's all done, and there's that guilt, and maybe then people know what happened. Then he says, boy, you blew it. God can't use you anymore. Isn't it interesting? By the way, the devil's smarter than you and me. Don't try to dance with him. He's smarter than you. I mean, if we rely on God, we win. We rely on ourselves and go against the devil, we're going to lose every time. He's wiser than you and I, but he's not wiser than God, who we should depend upon in the first place. Satan's goal is not only for you to fall, but for you to stay down. For you to stay down. Now, very quickly, three wonderful truths, and then we'll be done with this message today. Follow after, if you would, please. I'll try to move along. Number one truth, even when we fail, God is still sovereign. Even when we fail, God is still sovereign. I've been using that word sovereign a lot lately, but I'm glad I serve a sovereign God. Sovereign, what does that mean? What's a simple definition? Sovereign means in control. That's part of it. God is in control. Luke 22:60, where we read about the rooster crowing. The rooster, as far as I'm concerned, is a testimony that God was still in control. The Lord shut the beaks, not only of that rooster and maybe hundreds of others, until there's a precise time of the third denial. That's sovereignty. Think about it. I mean, as humorous as it might sound, that's sovereignty. Verse 61. Right now, Peter is at his worst. He's at his lowest. He is failing. He has fallen. He is out of control. But he got a message from the Lord. I'm still in control. 2 Timothy 2:13, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. We often fail God, but he never fails us. How great thou art, meaning God. We must remember that even when we despair and feel out of control, God is still in control. He's still sovereign. That kind of, you think about Romans 8:28. Sometimes we think about that when we're going through some hard times, but we ought to think about it more often, because Romans 8:28 says all things work together for good. That includes our failures and even a bad year of our life. What can we learn from 2020? What can we learn that would help us the rest of our lives, however short or long that may be? What do we need to do? Pick up the broken pieces and bring them to the Lord. Trust His holy word. He will put it back together and make your life complete. Just place the broken pieces at the Savior's feet. You may feel like you've blown it. Maybe you have. But no matter what you've done, God still has a wonderful plan for your life. And He'll even be there to help pick you up if you've stumbled or fallen down. Number two, this stands out to me in Luke 22:61. When we fail, God is sympathetic. Too many people, including pastors, picture God as an individual that has a big 2x4 with a nail in it. And every time you do something wrong, He's going to hit you over the head with it. Too many people have that concept of God. Luke 22:61. Let's take the time to read it one more time. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. All he did was look. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how He had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. The moment Peter denied, he turned and saw the eyes of Jesus. You ever experienced that? Ever experienced that? Oh, not literally. You know what I'm saying. And it wasn't a picture of disappointment or hate. I believe it was a look of love. Wasn't a look of disappointment and anger. I believe it's a look of love. Here's another statement that I highlighted because I want you to get this. God is not changing us so He can love us. He loves us, and therefore He is changing us. As we follow His word, as we follow the Lord, Brother Dan has mentioned this a lot in a couple of his messages. I don't know if he knows he has done this, and it's not a bad thing, it's a good thing. He is reminding us that if we are children of God, we should be changing for the better, not the worse. You know, a person gets saved and then they decide they want to still live like the devil the rest of their life. Go back to square one, brother or sister. Have you accepted Christ as your Savior? Is He changing you as you walk through life? Stumble and fall? Yes, you will. But has that helped you? As He uses that to change your life for the better. I guess you could say God loves you just as you are, and He loves you too much to leave you that way. That's a good one. God loves you just as you are, and He loves you too much to leave you that way. Boy, we all understand that real good, don't we? Psalms 103:14. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. He knoweth our frame. He remembers that we are dust. We are dust. Boy, you talk about unconditional love. That's a picture of unconditional love. Remember, His grace is not a license to sin. Don't pick up on that false teaching, that His grace is a license to sin. And anyone who views it that way, I don't believe is truly saved. That's my opinion. Number three, even when we fail, we are secure. Even when we fail, we are secure. Aren't you glad that even your salvation doesn't depend on you? Depends on God, don't depend on you. I mean, some religions are out there painting that picture. Oh, it depends on you. You got to do this, you got to do that. And if you don't do it just right, you know, you failed. It doesn't depend on us, it depends on Him. I love that scripture that says about, I'm in God's hand. And no man can pluck me out of God's hand. That's a beautiful picture. And His hand is bigger than anyone you've ever seen. You are safe and secure in God's mighty hands. We can't spend a lot of time on this, but verses 31 and 32, if you back up just a little bit to read those, and then I'll finish up here. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desire to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. You know what Satan wanted to do? He wanted to sift Peter to condemn him. You remember what we said about when temptation starts? Oh, come on, nobody knows. You can get away with this. Go ahead. And then after you get caught or you start feeling guilty, boy, you blew it. But I don't even think you should even waste your time going to God and asking forgiveness. He don't want nothing to do with you. That's the way the devil is. But Jesus allowed the sifting in order to cleanse Peter. But we're talking about a sovereign God. And Jesus also knew there was some chaff that needed to be gotten rid of there. And He knew Peter wouldn't deal with it until he knew it was there in the first place. And he was made aware of it. So God allowed it. So Jesus used the devil's tool to help Peter. I go back again to the Old Testament. Remember when the children of Israel were so disobedient, they weren't following God, and God sent prophet after prophet after prophet and said, you need to get this straightened out, you need to get right, you need to get over this. And finally, after sending all the prophets and the people wouldn't do it, God said, okay, in His sovereign will, He said, okay, King J. Fluvius over here, you don't know me, but I'm going to use you. I'm going to allow you to take these children of Israel for 70 years to teach them something. And then at the end of 70 years, okay, now, King J. Fluvius there, you let them go now. That's enough. Now I'm going to take them back to where they belong. 70 years. And He even told the children of Israel, now get used to it. You might as well build houses to live in because you're going to be there a while. I'm going to sift you. And He did. So Jesus used the devil's tool to help Peter. And that's almost like David facing Goliath. You know, that big guy thought he was king of the world. He could beat anybody. He could beat armies. So what happened when David used his sling and knocked him down, he used the giant's own sword to cut off his head. But there's a lot of things in the Bible that really make you think, doesn't it? And you stand back and you say, whew, God is a lot smarter than me and a whole lot of other people. You know, I'm glad in a sense that Jesus is not concentrating on the chaff in our lives. He sees the wheat. And he wants to cleanse us. He wants to change us for his glory and our benefit. There are three things that Jesus knew about Peter. Number one, failure. Number two, faith. And number three, the future. Peter, you've blown it big time, but I'm going to help you up, and you're going to be stronger for it. And believe it or not, you're going to preach, and there's going to be 3,000 souls saved in one day. He didn't know it, but God did. And we read about it. And when you read about Peter through the book of Acts and other accounts, would you say that God changed him? I'd say he did. And it was for the better. You know, the media is continuing to pound away at how there's no hope for this new year of 2021. They're pounding away at it. They're using people to pound it into our brains. They are turning COVID-19 into COVID-21 and COVID-22. Well, I say this, as long as God is on our side and we are faithfully following him, God can make this year, 2021, better than any year, no matter what comes in to this year, because he is in control. And what we need to do is stay in the path that he has put us and continue to serve him with all of our hearts and souls, and stand back and watch what's going to happen. This could even be the year that we're taken out of here. That would be great too. But until then, let's be faithful. Let's be true to him in all that we say and all that we do. Amen? Amen. Let's pray.